Hello and welcome to this week's message from Valley Church. Catch up on recent messages and find out what's happening in the life of church by heading to valleychurch.eu or follow us on social media. Enjoy the message.
Well, everybody, it's great to see you. Welcome to the message part of the service. If you've been watching the whole thing, I've just done the giving talk. Yes, it's Pastor Ed again. But a very, very warm welcome for everybody who's just joined us or is watching this on playback. It's great to have you. If you're in the room, again, thanks so much for coming. If it's your first time, a very, very warm welcome. We love having new people here, and we hope you find somebody to talk to afterwards and you kind of feel settled and already beginning to feel at home wherever you are. So good to have you. Well, if you're like me, you are really looking forward to the end of the virus and restrictions, right? We're all really looking forward to that. Well, last Saturday, we decided to go for a shopping trip. And when we go for shopping trips, we always go north. And the reason we go north is we don't like going south because there's always jams. You ever been to Trafford Centre? Yeah, sucking jams, don't you? We thought, we'll go north. So we went to the Gretna Outlet Mall, which is in Gretna. And we were busy shopping away, as you are, and buying jeans. And my son was buying a suit for a wedding and that kind of stuff. And we walked past a restaurant. And as we walked past a restaurant, we went, there's people inside the restaurant eating. And we're like, why are they doing that? And then we realized, now we already knew this, we're not that stupid, we realized we're in Scotland. And so you can eat inside restaurants in Scotland. So we went inside the restaurant, booked a table, and I tell you, it's like the biggest treat, it's the biggest treat in the world to actually have a pizza sat down in a restaurant. It was so nice. Can't wait for it to happen in England, and I know you feel the same. Well, today I want to talk about one of my favorite Old Testament characters. I have three inspirational Old Testament characters that have been with me since I've been a young man. Moses, because he spoke with God face to face, and I thought that's really cool. I want to be able to do that. Solomon, because God gave him wisdom, and I'd like to be as wise as possible. And the one I want to speak to today, Elisha. Elisha was the man that received the double portion of Elijah's spirit, and I just wanted to be full of God's spirit and be able to do whatever God wanted me to do. And so I want to speak on Elisha today. Now, if you're taking notes, why don't you put this title down? The title for today's message is Ownership. Put ownership down. And then underneath it, putting taking hold of and walking in to your God-given gifts. Taking hold of and walking in your God-given gifts. You see, each one of us, and even if you don't know Jesus yet, each one of us has been given amazing gifts by God. Natural ones, and then when you become a Christian, a Christ follower, and God's Spirit lives in you, you get supernatural gifts as well. And God wants each one of us to walk to the full potential in those God-given gifts, both the natural ones and the supernatural ones. And I want to speak into that around the character and story of Elisha. So let's pray and then we'll begin. Father, I want to thank you so much that you are with every single person who is hearing this, whether it's on Sunday, whether in the room, whether at home, or they're watching or listening later in the week, or even months down the track. Father, you are with them. So Father, I ask that you would speak to them in these next few moments, help them to open their hearts and their minds to you. And Father, I pray, as I always pray, if there's any listeners to this who don't know you yet or have drifted far from you, Father, call them home. Just release something of your love and your peace in their lives that they may know that they are loved by you and you long to welcome them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, we first come across Elisha in 1 Kings chapter 19. I just want to read a few verses in 1 Kings chapter 19 about Elisha. So Elijah, he's just heard from God, and God said, you need to appoint Elisha to follow on after you. So this is what happens. So 1 Kings 19, verse 19. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plied with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Now that's significant. It meant he was at the back, and he was directing all the other pairs of oxen, which meant, obviously, he was part probably of a very prestigious family. This was not an ordinary young man. This was an ordinary young man with a future. But Elijah called him to leave that, and as we'll find out in a second, to become his attendant. So Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Then Elisha left his oxen and ran after Elijah. And he said this, "Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye," he said, "and then I will come with you." "Go back," Elijah replied. "What have I done to you?" So Elisha left him, went back. He took the yoke of oxen, slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat, to give it to the people. Also as a sign that he was leaving. He was definitely leaving the lifestyle he had been living in. His now he was going to follow Elijah. So he cooked the meat, gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his attendant. He became his servant. Now, we don't know how long Elisha was Elijah's attendant, his servant. We don't know. I did some research over the last few days, and some of the scholars say maybe up to 6 years, but we don't know. It definitely was a number of years. Now, he wasn't just his servant. This was his kind of teaching time. He'd be learning. He'd be kind of in Star Wars jargon. He'd be his Padawan over those years, learning and ready for the job. But he'd learn about himself. He'd learn about his character. He'd learn about his giftings. He'd learn about who God was and what God could do. He'd hear all the stories of Elijah and what he'd be doing. He'd learn about attitudes and expectations. He'd learn so much. And I suspect, too, he would have a go. He'd have a practice at some of the things that Elijah had been doing. And I believe that Elisha, he took ownership of that period of his life. He pressed in, he learned, he trained, he tried to understand, he'd ask questions. He owned that portion of his life, his preparation time for the ministry ahead of him. But one day, this time came to an end. Now, it's true to say that we should never stop learning and growing. That's true. And it doesn't matter what we're doing, what we're leading, or anything like that. We should always keep learning and training. But there comes a time where we should stop being, as it were, at school and start doing something. And Elisha got to that time where the season of just training and being a student came to an end. And there came a time where he needed to enter into the ministry that God had called him into. You see, there's a time when our actions, and there has to become a time, everybody, there has to come a time where our actions and our decisions actually matter, where we're not covered by somebody else, where our ministry has meaning, the thing that God has called to us. Now, before I go further, I just want to describe or define what I believe ministry means. So this is going to come up on the screen. If you're taking notes, I'm going to ask the guys to leave this up quite a long time so you can write it down because it's quite long. But I wanted to define ministry for you. You ready? It's the calling on the job that God has asked us to do, which will directly and purposefully extend or bring his kingdom onto earth. And in particular, make disciples, recruit and develop them of people. I'll read it again, even though it's on the screen. Ministry is the calling God has asked us to do, which will directly and purposefully extend his kingdom onto the earth, and in particular, make disciples of all people. And this ministry encompasses our time outside church, if you can say that, because in one sense we're always church, we're never outside it, but kind of outside the church activities, as well as the inside church. You see, because our ministry is everything we do. Our calling is everything we do. We need to, and that's really, really important. And by definition, this calling should grow Jesus' body, which is the local church. It should grow it by definition. If it doesn't, it's not ministry. And I think it's really important that if you love Jesus, that you hear that. If what you're doing isn't growing Jesus' body, if it's not taking his kingdom forward, it's not really ministry. It might be good stuff, but it's not ministry. God has called you to do something that will actually help his body and the kingdom of God go forward. And this ministry should cost us something. It cost Elisha his privileged background, and he had to serve. He never went back home to his family. I guess he visited, I suppose, but he never went back home, as it were, probably went home. He spent the rest of his life in his ministry. It should cost us something as we do it. And I want to ask you a question before I kind of go into my main points. Is, do you know your ministry? Do you know your ministry? If you love Jesus, do you know your ministry? If you don't love Jesus yet, don't worry. We'll come on to you in a minute towards the end. But if you love Jesus, do you know your ministry? Do you know what the call of God is on your life? As a parent, as a worker, as a businessman, as a member of church, do you know the ministry that God has called? It's really important because we need to find it so that we can do it to build the kingdom of God. And then the second question I want to ask, and write this down, am I still in the attendance stage? Elisha was an attendant for 6 years. Are you still pretending to be an attendant when actually you should be now involved in ministry? In those days, of being an attendant should have finished. Because you see, I think some of you listening to this have spent your entire life being an attendant. And actually, I believe God is calling you, and I'll come on to this in a second, to step away from being an attendant to actually take hold of you, the ministry that God has called you to. It's really important that all of us do if we're going to fulfill all that God has for us as individuals and as a church. Well, we don't really know what Elijah did with Elisha. The Bible doesn't tell us. But we do know in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1, that that time comes to an end because Elijah's about to get taken away from Elisha. And I use the word take away on purpose. You see, Elijah is one of the two men in the Bible, the other one being Enoch, that as far as you know, don't die. And I want to read that story to you. So in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 says this. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, stay here. The Lord has sent me on to Bethel. But Elisha said, as sure as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yes, I know, Elisha replied, but do not speak it. Basically, everybody knew that Elijah was about to go. God's kind of told everybody. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, Elisha, because the Lord has sent me to Jericho. But he replied, as surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went to Jericho. And the company of the prophets at Jericho came out and said the same thing. And then in verse 6, then Elijah said to him again, stay here, the Lord has sent me to the Jordan. And Elisha replied, as surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you. So the two of them walked on. 50 men of the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the River Jordan. So they walked to the Jordan, and they stopped there. And this is what happened. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. That's all cool, right? You get the thing in here. Strikes the water, splash. And then before the 50 prophets and Elisha and Elijah, this is what happened. As he struck it, the water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, presumably the water came back again. After they crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? And Elisha replied, let me inherit a double portion of your spirit. You have asked a difficult thing, Elijah said. Yes, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise not. As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared. Then the heavenly host appeared, basically. The heavenly host appeared and separated the two of them, came between them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. He was swept up in a kind of rush of air. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And then Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his clothes and tore them apart. And then he picked up the cloak. Elijah's cloak had fallen from him. He picked up the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak that had fallen from him and struck the water with it. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah, he asked. And when he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left and crossed over. And a company of the prophets from Jericho, who were watching, still watching on the side, said, the spirit of Elijah is now resting on Elisha. The passing of ministry. Elisha's time of attending, of learning, of being a student. In one sense, as I said, we carry on learning. Had come to an end. He was now in ministry. He had a job to do that God had called to him and God had equipped him to do. And I want you to note a couple of things. If you're taking notes, the first, you should have already put number one, we need to take hold of ownership of our training. So that's number one. Number two, put this. Elisha was determined to fulfill his call. As you read that passage, over and over again, Elijah says, do you want a way out? He says, look, we're going to go to Bethel, but you can stay here. And he says, no, then we're going to go to Jericho. Do you want to stay in Bethel? No. Then he said, then Jericho. Do you want to stay in Jericho? So I'm going to Jordan. No. And every time, Elisha says, no, I am determined to do this ministry that I believe God has called me to do. And if we're going to do all that God wants us to do, church, we need to have some determination. It won't always be straightforward. It won't always be easy. You know, when God calls us to do something, there's going to be difficulties. There's going to be easy ways out. But God calls us to be determined to walk into the ministry that God has got. For us to own our ministry and to press through those times when we feel like giving up. Be determined in ministry, both within the church environment, but also outside the church environment. Like I said, that's maybe not a great concept. You know what I mean? Outside the church activities, we need to be determination. And also, this is point number three if you're taking notes, we also need to have the decision that we want to make sure our ministry is blessed. I love the fact that Elisha said, I want to have a double portion. I want to have a double portion. I want to inherit everything I can you from Elisha. I want my ministry to be blessed as your ministry has been blessed. And even though we realize as Christians it's God who blesses us, God who blesses our ministry, actually we need to have that desire, that passion. God bless what I'm doing. And to ask God and call God to do that, because that God loves it when we call, when we ask him, and he loves to bless what we are doing. And he does these things. And then Elijah disappears. He kind of goes up in this whirlwind, and Elisha's like probably going, no, he's not coming back. He's gone. And his side is upset. His mentor's gone. His friend's gone. They spent all these years together. But he picks up the cloak that's fallen from him, and off he goes. And then a strange thing happens. And I don't know whether you noticed it when I read it, but as he's got Elijah's cloak in his hand, the power of Elijah in the cloak, which is ridiculous, right? Because the power of Elijah is in God, right? He gets his cloak. And then he says these words, doesn't he? He says, where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? Not my God or the God of Israel, but the God of Elijah. Well, the answer is he's with Elisha. And so as Elisha says that and he hits the water, the same thing happens as it did with Elijah, because he's received the Spirit of God in his life. And so as he hits it, the waters part, and he walks across the middle of the Jordan on dry ground. And the prophets on the other side, the fitted prophets, say, this man has now got Elijah's ministry. And the thing is, I believe that as Elisha walked through that Jordan the second time on his own, something spiritual happened. Now, it could have happened in real life, but he put on the responsibility, the ministry cloak, as it were, on him. He could have literally gone to the side and put Elisha's cloak on top of his torn clothes. We don't know if he did that or not. The Bible doesn't say. But he definitely put on the ministry that God had now called him to. And if you read onwards into the Bible, he does lots of crazy things, does Elisha, through the power of God as God directs him and empowers. But a change happened. Elijah's God became Elisha's God. He had been living, as it were, under and in Elijah's gift, but now he had to move to be living in his own gifts. He had been kind of, as it were, helping Elijah's ministry, but now he had to own his own ministry. He had to begin to act and be responsible for the gifts that God has given him and use them to the full potential that he could do in the authority and in the strength and in the instruction and in the power that God has given him. And I just want to say, in our Western world, in our comfortable, amazing Western world, particularly in our amazing, comfortable, safe country where peace and security is normal, and which is great, and we can have access to so many good things, which is also amazing, but it's so easy not to walk into our ministry but get distracted and do other things instead. And I believe this is what God's asked me to talk about in this message. I believe God is calling his people, all of us who are following Jesus, to cross over, to not help somebody else's ministry or support what somebody else is doing or do their bit, but actually to own the ministry that God has called them to do, both in church and also outside church. That we should actually own. Stop being in somebody else's and helping. But say, no, I own. If you're a kids worker, own the kids ministry. If you're a youth worker, own the youth ministry. If you're a mom or a dad, own the ministry of looking after your children. If you're a business person, own the responsibility of producing money for the kingdom of God and looking after your staff and bringing the kingdom of God into your business. If you're a worker, bring the kingdom of God into your place where you work. It's your ministry that God has called you. Only you can reach your fellow work colleagues. Nobody else can. Bring that ministry on purpose and own it and be responsible. Cross over. You're not just, please don't just help Pastor Ed and Pastor Michelle run church or build church. No, it's my ministry. I will own the responsibility of doing it. I believe, you see, Elisha was probably only in his 20s. We think that possibly 30, because he had over 50 years of ministry as a prophet, as the prophet of Israel, over 50 years of prophet. And so he was young. I believe when he came to that Jordan River with that cloak, I don't think he came confidently. It's why he said, where's the God of Elijah? I think he came trembling and scared. He knew what was ahead of him. And he didn't think this is going to be easy. He'd heard the stories that Elisha had said of the difficulties and the kings that hated God and that kind of thing. And I think he was shaking when he took hold of that cloak and he hit the Jordan. And he said, God of Elijah, please, please turn up. And God turned up with amazing power and might. Why? Because Elisha was determined to take ownership of the ministry that God had given him. Church, if you love Jesus, have you crossed over, as it were, from helping, assisting, doing a bit? Have you crossed over, as it were, to the other side and said, no, I own this thing. I own the ministry that God has called me to. This is mine. You see, if you will do that, and if you go on, if you go into 2 Kings and read what God did, God's power will be on you. And you will do incredible things. You'll see incredible things. Why? Because God blesses, God empowers those that cross over to the other side. And every single Christian, every single person that loves God, it's your joy, it's your privilege. I want to encourage you. I'm going to praise you in a second. I encourage you to step over the other side. To say, no, my training is done. Yes, I'm going to keep learning, but my training is finished. I'm now going to own the ministry that God has called me to. Perhaps for some of you, need to figure it out. I know you need to figure out. Go and figure it out. Go and talk to a congregate leader or pastor and start figuring it out. And then you can be a student and you can get through and then cross the other side. But I think for some of you, you spend your entire life, I'm helping. I'm just doing something, doing my bit. And God's calling you right now to say, no, I'm nervous. I'm a bit scared. Will God come through? Yes, He'll come through. It's time, you know, it's time that you walked as a Christian from where you are to actually own the ministry. Let me just pray for you now, and I'm just going to say a few more things. If you don't know Jesus, I'm going to say a few things to you before I've done. And Father, I pray for every single person that can hear my voice, whether they're in the room or they're watching online or later in the week. Father, may they know that you love them and that you've gifted them, you've skilled them both naturally and supernaturally to do a ministry, to build your kingdom, to help people be disciples, to help them find you, and then help them to develop as disciples. Father, I pray for each one of them who has sat there going, that's me. I have been helping, as it were. I've just been a student my entire life. I've never owned it. Father, I pray in these moments as they hesitate and they say, God, I hope you come through. The heroes of my faith, God, come through like that. God, I pray, give them bravery. Give them courage and help them, as it were, mentally to say, God, I'm going to walk through right now. And from today on, I'm going to own the ministry that you've called me to do. I'm not going to, and my decisions and my actions are going to make a difference because I'm going to own it. I'm not going to help somebody else, but I am going to own it. Father, I pray that you be with them and they may know your power that's already with them, and your equipping, which is already with them, Father, that they may know that's who they are and they may walk into it. With, yes, some trepidation maybe, but with great joy and expectation of the incredible things that you're going to do in them and through them in the future. Father, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, before I go, I just wanted to say, because you see, perhaps for some of you, you don't have a relationship with God yet. You don't know Jesus. Perhaps it's your first time in church. Perhaps it's your first time watching online. Thank you so much for listening to all of what I've said so far. And do you know God wants to meet you, but he actually wants to help you too, to maximize all the gifts and skills that he's already placed in your life. And in just a moment or two, the MCs will stand up and give you a moment to do that. But I just want to encourage you, because if it's your first time, or your first time in a long time, you probably don't know what happened to Elisha. I just want to, the Bible doesn't sum up his entire 50 years. He did a lot more than what I want to say, but he did some incredible things. He miraculously restored contaminated water for a city. He called down the power of God on rebels and had them killed. I'm not sure that's appropriate in our day and age, but that's what he did. He miraculously provided income for those in destitution. He raised the dead. He fed 100 from one loaf of bread. He healed leprosy. He actually blinded a whole army and led them into the king of Israel and saved the king of Israel from destruction and so much more. And the reason why I share this is this. You see, following God, yes, is about saying, sorry, God, I've been far from you. I've rebelled against you. I want to say sorry and I want to change. I want to start following you and believing you. But as you do that, I just want to let you know that God will take you on an amazing journey that's perfect for you. I said this before, but I say it again. I've been a Christian for over 30 years, and it's the most exciting adventure I could possibly have been on. As I said to God, I'm just in. I'm on the other side of the river. I will own my ministry and do whatever you want. God will give you an amazing life if you trust him. So thank you for listening. Let's hand over to the MCs, and God bless you.
Thanks for listening. We hope you've enjoyed this message. If you've been impacted by it and would like to respond by choosing to follow Jesus, we'd love to help you to do that. One of our pastors would love to be in touch with you. Why not email response@valleychurch.eu or head to valleychurch.eu/next-steps to discover more. We're so excited for your future. Be blessed.